Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome this morning. We are at Jazz Fest for Locals Thursday. We are so excited to celebrate New Orleans' rich cultural history here. We had a great day last Friday here, and we're going to have an even better day today on Locals Thursday here at Jazz Fest, and we're so glad that you could join us. We're broadcasting live from the Miller Lite compound here, right behind the big stage, and we really look forward to today. And we're going to start right off with the guy that kind of puts this all together year in, year out, not on his own. He's got a great team, obviously, and he talks about them all the time. Quint Davis, the Jazz Fest producer, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We know that you're incredibly busy.
No, good morning, New. It's great to be on WWL with you and spread the word.
So, Quint, you've probably been interviewed, what, a million times maybe?
Half a million.
So there's not many questions that I can ask you that you haven't had to address. But what surprises you after all of these years relative to the sustained success of this festival that I think gets talked about more as each year passes, which is incredibly hard to have that happen?
Yeah, it's, you know, every year we want people to think this is the best ever.
Right.
And then the job is next year, you have to make it better than the best ever. But the way that people have embraced it, keep coming, that you, like the Thursday that we opened last week was a magical day. It was a beautiful, magical day because the people were back at the festival for the first time in a year. And they loved the festival. And there was just this great feeling and the weather was good. And that's everything to me, is the people of New Orleans that come to the festival and bring it alive. You know, without that, it'd be like the world's greatest sound check. You know? But the people come in, they bring it to life, and, you know, it's a New Orleans party. People from out of town come visit. They're going to a New Orleans party, so they're going to a good party.
You know what amazes me about this? How many people come in to the Jazz Fest each and every year so well-behaved, so friendly. It's almost as though it's their second vacation, you know, second home, like their vacation home. And they're here for 8 days now.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, that dynamic.
Well, the whole world should be like what it is inside a Jazz Fest.
But we'd be much better served.
It'd be a great world. Yeah.
Hey, if you could pull that off, man.
Well, I got to start with here.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that we've grown so much and that we continue to grow is that we keep getting new people to come. Mm-hmm. And when somebody comes for the first time, they kind of get hooked. And they tend to come back 4 or 5 years in a row. So that way you just continue to grow and continue to get some fresh people in. The diversity also of our, I mean, we have, you know, we had Little Wayne at one end of the field, Harry Connick Jr. at the other end of the field. And that's what the festival is really about. The diversity,
yeah,
something
two ends of the spectrum. Huh?
That's all New Orleans, yeah. And that's as far apart as you can get.
Right. But two incredible talents in their own right, for sure. You know, the industry of not only food production, but the industry of music over the life cycle of your time here with Jazz Fest has changed enormously, right?
Oh, yeah. Everything in society is, I mean, this festival started in 1970.
Yeah.
So the whole world is different. The economy is different. The society is different. But Jazz Fest is really has a constant to it. You know, it's authentic. It's real, and it's New Orleans. And I think that's something that people keep coming back to. You know, when we first did it that year after Katrina, it was almost impossible to do, but we did it. But it was something that was constant. You know, it was something that had New Orleans be New Orleans again and put the word out to the world that New Orleans was open again.
Well, I'll go a step further. It was needed.
Okay, thank you.
It truly was. I mean, it was needed. It was an event at the right place at the right time in order to recreate the momentum that we have been enjoying here in the city for so long.
Yeah. Right after Katrina, we weren't sure. You know, there wasn't a roof on a building out here at the fairgrounds. Three quarters of the field was underwater. No utilities, no electricity, no nothing. And we actually started looking around, took a trip to Houston, and I ran into Mitch Landrieu at a benefit in New York that Wynton Marsalis was having. And he said, not having Jazz Fest is not an option.
Yep.
And that just stuck with me. He said, if you get to the point where you think you're not having it, you call me. Not having Jazz Fest is not an option. And so that's how we approached it.
What about the music industry with all of the changes? I mean, even from the type of instruments that they're playing, the sound systems and everything else, you rarely hear complaints, if any at all, about y'all's ability to keep that up, keep it fresh, and keep it current.
Well, you're right. The technology is just, you know, it keeps advancing and advancing and advancing. I mean, now everything is digital. And we have all these different stages, but we point them in different directions. We do things with the systems themselves so that they don't overlap. Sound is a wave. It's carried on the wind. Now,
right.
You can't control that. Sometimes you hear one from another stage. But we really, really do work to have the best sound possible for everybody here. And it's a challenge. As you say, not only the sound change, but the actual instruments change. You know, they're all digital keyboards and wireless microphones and in-ear monitors. So it's a whole different technological world to keep up with, too.
Yeah. Back in the 70s, most of the bands, predominantly four players, maybe five. If you had seven or eight, you were considered huge at that time, right?
People used to bring in their own drums, yeah. Bring in their own amplifiers. Because back in the beginning, you could drive your car up to the stage.
To the stage,
yeah,
absolutely.
Just take your stuff out and put it on the stage. Can't do that anymore.
But, you know, it's interesting. Within now, after all these years, still within the same footprint.
Yeah. The fairgrounds, I mean, now we're using the parking lot for the jazz tent and the blues tent and the gospel tent. There's something unique about this festival because of the unity of it. Because some festivals are so big and they're so spread so far apart. But here you can walk to everyone at every stage.
4 minutes, I think, from one end to the other.
So when you make out your chart and you say, well, I want to see this band and I want to see that band and I want to see that band. Well, one of the greatest miracles we discuss this of this festival is that 500 New Orleans bands start on time. No New Orleans bands start on time outside of this fence, trust me. But so people have a schedule.
So you carry that magic wand with you every day?
When their time is up, their time is up. So they got to start on time. But when people make a schedule out of who they want to see, it's vital that the things are on time so that it's on time when they get there. But the way this festival is designed, there's flow. You can go around on the outside track if you want to go from one end to the other. But you can access all the food. You can access all the stages easily, but not too far apart. It's been we came here in 1972, and we've been here ever since.
Quint, a lot of folks, I think, have a certain curiosity about, you know, the big bands that come here, their thoughts. You're one of the folks that for decades now have been kind of the front man and communicating with these folks on a daily basis. What do they say? What are some of the moments that you remember about some of the, you know, like the Rolling Stones or, you know,
Bruce Springsteen. Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett, another great example.
Yeah. Well, they love it. The first building block of it is the way that we produce it and the way that we handle them. That everything is real smooth. We like this to be somebody's biggest gig, but easiest gig.
Mm-hmm.
So when everything's working real smooth for them backstage, the ground transportation, the catering, all of these things, that they're just comfortable. And then we have the best audience.
Yeah.
We have the best music audience there is. So we get the best shows, really, out of everybody that plays here. And it's a combination of those things, that they feel comfortable. They've got this great New Orleans crowd in front of them, and we just get great shows.
The name that I was struggling to remember, Billy Joel, I saw an interview of him, and he mentioned his experience at Jazz Fest.
Oh.
And, I mean, he spoke very highly of it. You know, now, this is a guy that's played in outdoor concerts all over the world, right?
Yeah, but that was the thing that brought him. You know, he had retired.
Yeah.
And he was down on older guys that were still touring. And I was talking to his manager, and I said, you get him to come here. I want a percentage because I guarantee you if he plays here, he's going to go back to playing. And then he said, well, he's not going to play. He said, write him a letter. So I wrote him a letter, and he agreed to come. And sure enough, he had this experience, and he went back to playing.
Well, it must have been a life experience for him, because if you hear him talk about it and the emotion behind it, he absolutely adored this festival and his experience here. Last week, we got a chance to talk to several of the 500 New Orleans bands that start on time that you talked about. And some of them, Quint, oddly enough, I was really surprised, said, you know, they've played places all over the world, all over the United States. This is a place that they call home. And some say this is when they are the most nervous, when they walk on at the Jazz Fest stage.
Oh, that's interesting, because this is generally the biggest gig of somebody's year.
Right.
You know, the most important one, and the biggest audience, the biggest stage, the biggest everything. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I was taken aback by it as well, because you would think I'm at home. I'm at a ease. You
right.
know, this is folks from Maple Leaf, folks from over here, folks from it just in one big place here.
Right. But when you're playing here, you're playing before the entire world.
Yeah.
You know, everybody in the world has their eyes on you, and it's a different level. It's a whole different thing. So that's interesting to know. But they overcome it.
Absolutely. And, you know, interesting, too, is how many bands really break out with their music as a result of their presence here at Jazz Fest.
Yeah, and that happens in all different genres. Like in Europe, years and years ago, they would tour blues bands, but mm-hmm. they didn't really tour gospel bands. And a bunch of the European promoters came to Jazz Fest, went in the gospel tent, and started bringing gospel groups over to tour Europe. I mean, when we started, groups didn't have recording contracts and records and stuff like that. I mean, mostly one of the great things was discovering all these groups. You know, I don't know who they are, but they're really great. Well, now people know who they are. You know, they're established. They play other festivals, and they've grown. And a great appearance here, and actually your name in the poster, you know, your name in the marketing for 6 months is a big, big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for sharing some moments with us. I know my listening audience really appreciates you giving us the opportunity to hear from you. For so many years, you know, they viewed you as the person of Jazz Fest, and they still love to hear from you. 56 years now?
54 festivals in 56 years.
56 years.
Because of COVID.
Because
yeah,
of COVID,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
yeah, so 56 years of existence. And I did want to mention before we go, this is bigger than just a festival. You guys do so much as a not-for-profit to better this community, the place that we call home. And we thank you for that as well. It has left an incredible mark on our community and our society. and we're better for it.
Well, that's part of the mission. You know, if the festival makes a surplus, that we want to support the culture that we're presenting here. And it's worked out. Well, it's great to be on the Newell Show.
Well, thank you so much.
In the morning on WWL.
Your last word to all the folks out there in the audience.
Y'all come.
See you soon.
See you soon.
All right.
The sun is shining.
Absolutely. Quint Davis, Jazz Fest producer, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great second weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. This is Newell. Stay with us. Folks, we're broadcasting live from Jazz Fest. Thanks to our friends at Miller Lite. Miller Lite tastes like Jazz Fest for sure, and we really appreciate this partnership. Joining me now is Chris Cicada with Miller Lite. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Fellow Nika, I understand.
Yeah,
your grandfather was Nicaraguan.
Yeah, yes.
Absolutely. Well, it's good. Certainly good to meet you. Thank you so much for hosting us here today. Y'all have quite the complex here, and more I hear it's one of the venues that you definitely want to get to.
Oh, it's definitely everybody wants to be a part of the Miller Lite VIP tent for sure. It's a hard ticket to get.
Yeah, and it's something. I mean, it's amazing how in a not that large footprint, so many different offerings.
Oh, right? Yes.
Tell us about the offerings.
Well, definitely compared to Miller VIP tent or Jazz Fest together.
Just what y'all are offering right here.
I mean, oh, just the Miller VIP tent? Yeah, it's a big production. I mean, it started off, I started this 36 years ago. It was nothing but a little tent, grass, you know, ground, and picnic tables. And some draft beer. But now, I mean, we got Happy Thursday, Miller Lite, Peroni, Summer Shanty, Miller Lite, Coors Light, Banquet, Blue Moon, Vizzy. I mean, it's we got quite a selection. Whereas before, 36 years ago, we just had Miller Lite, Genuine Draft, and Highlight. That was it. Yeah.
We're also joined by Jared Guidry.
How you doing, Noel?
Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're talking about all of the big offerings here. Now, Miller Lite is the official beer of Jazz Fest, right?
Yes, it is.
And so you guys are spread out throughout the grounds.
Yes. Yeah, it's 145 acres, and you can find us everywhere. We got so many different booths. We got 12 booths that we share with Coke, and Coke has one side. We have the other side, and we have cabanas. We got VIP tents. We have, Jared, 8 VIP tents?
Yeah, we have 8 hospitality tents that has draft beer behind it. We have 5 other draft beer locations, the Paddock, the Blues tent. That's our biggest draft beer location, so, yeah.
It's funny, the first time I tasted Peroni was here several years ago when I'd heard of the beer, but just had never had it. I like it.
Well, yeah.
It's good beer.
I mean, Jazz Fest gives us a great opportunity for people to sample different products that they may normally not have tried.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we got the hawkers. They're everywhere. So, I mean, anywhere in 145 acres, you could close your eyes, turn around, stop, and walk 100 feet and find somebody selling a beer.
Which product, which is like kind of new to the market, has been one that's been has taken off and has become incredibly popular?
I'd say some of the Vizzies.
Oh, and Happy Thursday. Topo Chico here.
Yeah. And the Topos, yeah. And they have the Margarita, and that's been doing really well. But, yeah.
And then draft beer related, if you people want some full body beers by the Blues tent, we'll have Pilsner Kale on draft, Peroni. Leinenkugel Summer Shandy is out there, and that's like the biggest draft area.
Yeah.
And we have 14 tap handles of different assorted beers there, 7 different beers on 14 handles.
The logistics I hear from so many people out here is they do really they work hard to make it easy. It never is easy.
Yeah. Oh, no. And then we always have to
especially the quantity of product that y'all have to move. I mean, just as I got here early – last week and again this morning to see, you know, forklifts, push carts,
Oh, yeah. We use a lot of equipment. I mean, it goes months in advance of planning. We've been planning for Jazz Fest since the beginning of January. You know, the amount of vehicles that we need, the amount of labor we need, the ordering the product, you know, and we have analysts that, you know, figure out what we did last year or the year before. This is, you know, what we need to have at each station, and that's what we do. And then throughout the event, we'll change stuff and move stuff around. So we need bodies, and if we have bad weather, we need human bodies to move the stuff down around because we can't use the equipment on the grass.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes involved, and we always have to have a plan B.
You guys get out here early every morning. I see you guys moving around. Everybody's getting their business together, and miraculously, when the gates open at 11 o'clock,
we're ready to go.
Y'all are ready to go.
We're ready to go.
Everybody's in place.
Yep.
Everybody's got their shirt on, their hat on, and they're ready to start serving.
If we've done our job correctly, we don't have anything to do at 11 a.m. You
know, right.
Early. It's calm before the storm.
Every once in a while, you know, we'll have a you know, we'll run out of ice or a product at some event, you know, some
otherwise
station,
known as a hiccup.
Right. Well, I mean, it depends. I might have a rush on something, and, you know, we try to accommodate them.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's early in the morning and late in the evening. So, I mean, we've been preparing for this. It's not just an eight-day event for us. You know, it's multiple weekends. I mean, I've been working every weekend for the past month.
Yeah.
So my poor boat's been sitting in my floorboard, you know, getting dusty.
Anybody got a violin? We can start playing.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, and it's a lot of Saturdays, Sundays, nights, and then we also have to restack a lot of stuff. Because,
he was thinking his boss is listening right
now. No, he's on a trip. Yeah, unfortunately, he's out of town, so he's not even listening. So, yeah.
But, Newell, one of the other challenges with people don't realize, like this year especially, and I'm with our events team and everything, but we had – 2 weeks before this, we had French Quarter Fest. Week before that, we had Hogs for the Cause.
Hogs for the Cause.
Then it was St. Patrick's Day events, crawfish cook-offs.
The Armadillo Festival, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. We want to sell beer as many as possible. Before that, we had Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, late morning.
So it's been a busy spring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's every year, too. I mean, we tie up equipment at all those events, and then we have to hurry up, get them back, prep them, and then get them rolled
out. If you need somebody to run your boat and take it for you, I'll volunteer. I'll help you out there, brother.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you all so much for all you do. Thank you for hosting us. Y'all make it
easy
for us each and every year. We love the banter back and forth with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you again for having us out here. It's a blast.
Yeah, we love having y'all.
Thank you. No, appreciate
y'all. Have a great day.
Yep.
All right.
You too. Thank you.
All right. We'll
be
right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, we are going to visit with Johnny Sketch. Mark Parody is his real name, a.k.a. Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. So stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Johnny Sketch. Real name, Mark Parody. Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. They'll be performing today on the Gentilly stage at 12:20, if my memory serves me correct, which is the big stage closest to Gentilly Highway out there. And we appreciate you joining us today. Love your music. Electric cello. Cellist.
Yeah, that's right. Well, first of all, you are correct. 12:20. I had to check my calendar to make sure when I woke up this morning. But luckily, I live across the street, so that was an easy commute.
He just walked on over.
And I did bring the electric cello. Yep. It's a part of our show, which three of the guys, well, basically every member of our band is, all of us went to school for music.
Music, yeah.
And no matter what you major in, jazz or classical, you get a dose of proper musical training. So we all come from that world. And when I started playing music, I was fully engrossed in the cello. I started when I was 8. That was my whole life. And then I got to college and majored in cello performance at Loyola. And I always had a guitar laying around just for fun. It was like the opposite. You know, the cello was the formal thing and the guitar was the goofing around. And then we started a band on a whim and needed a guitar player. So I dusted off the guitar laying under my bed and got to work. And so I do a little bit of both in the band.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice.
So let me give you a little flavor, folks, of the names of the band members. We have Johnny Sketch, Bustin' Nut, Dirty Johnny, Johnny Rico.
Yeah. He's Dr. Johnny Rico now.
Dr. Johnny Rico.
Yeah, yeah.
Sage Rouge, and then just Josh Paxton.
Josh Paxton, we
is
call
the
him
keyboard player.
Well, we call him Johnny Marathon. He likes to run. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I asked Johnny Sketcher what was up with the names. He goes, we thought it was a good idea when we were younger.
Yeah, when we were 21, it seemed like the way to go. I like that, though, because it reminds me that you can't get too serious. You know,
no,
now that we're in our 40s or 50s, most of us, except for Sage. She's the young one. But
right.
You start to get a little more, I don't know if boring is the right word, but not as right. adventurous as when you're young. And having the names keeps us connected to our roots of being.
Well, you know, if you can't have fun at it, why do it, right?
Exactly. We avoided real jobs for a reason. You know, we need to stick with the lighthearted approach, or else we might as well go get a suit and tie on.
You know, it's funny. Seeing you live is one thing, and then in preparation for the show, I always like to go to YouTube and see some of the most recent performances that are done, and you get to get a closer look at how the whole band handles their instruments, and you can tell right away. I think everyone was classical music at one time, or was trained in classical
That's
music, because
right.
you can just see the structure of the way you're moving fingers, you know, on the guitar, on the cello, the sax player, and everything
yeah.
else. And it's almost as though y'all have to rough it up a little bit to get to the sound that you're looking for.
That's
right.
That's a really interesting take on it. I like that. Sure, maybe so. I mean, that comes naturally. I think some of the members of the band are very gifted, very trained, have the mind of a real musician. Josh is a great example. He's got skills that are
well.
Enviable.
He gets.
But we have to rough him up a little bit.
He gets sounds out of the keyboard.
Yeah, he does.
It's pretty amazing.
But he's a guy. Well, all of us, really. You're absolutely right. We have to kind of remember to play. I shoot from the hip,
right.
Probably more than anybody in the band.
Especially on that cello.
Yeah, I just like to, as much as I can after, 40, 30 years of whatever classical training. But, yeah, I like that take on it. We do have to kind of rough it up a little bit. But it comes naturally. We're having fun. And we never take it so seriously that we can't go wherever the music wants to go.
So who's the writer? Because
I write a lot of this stuff, but we all write. I mean, our drummer writes, our bassist writes, usually the three of us are the writers.
I love the way that you align the lyrics with the music on a number of different songs. And you don't see that always all the time. It's almost sometimes with some bands, the lyrics almost an afterthought.
Afterthought, you know? Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm responsible for the lyrics in this band, so I guess I'll take that compliment. I've always been a music first person because I started out as an instrumentalist and
right.
became a singer by default because we needed someone to do the singing.
Damn good singer, too.
Well, that's thank you. It took a long time. I remember the first day we were at rehearsal, someone said, all right, who's going to be the singer? And everyone just sat there, crickets chirped.
Waiting for someone to
raise and I sheepishly said, well, I'll give it a shot.
So three people stepped back and you...
Yes, and there I was with a mic in my hand, not knowing what to do. But, yeah, lyrics, I've always enjoyed poetry, and I think it can't be an afterthought, you know. Whatever kind of lyrics you write, they got to be intentional. Yeah.
Favorite song?
Favorite song of ours?
Yes.
Oh, you guys should have warned me about this kind of question. I would have done
I'll tell you mine. View
yeah,
Karib.
Okay, you go ahead.
View Karib.
I love that. That's a great choice.
I love the beat in that song. Actually, it's almost like multiple genres in one song.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Well, that's a really good choice.
My mother's Central American, so anytime it's got a little bit of a Latin flair,
sure.
Caribbean flair, I love that.
Oh, great. Well, I like that choice. I'm very fond of that song as well. I mean, any writer's going to tell you their favorite song is the last one they wrote.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that. My favorite song right now is the newest one we do. It's called Lose My Mind, and it's kind of a slow burn soul, like sing-along kind of thing, and I love playing. It's got a really great sax solo in it, so...
Now, y'all have a following to one of your songs, Cora Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, you know why? I'll tell you why that is, because that song, I wrote that song on the fly in the studio when we were making it. We put it on the record that came out after, but when we were making a record, I was sitting in there. We were just goofing around, me, David, and Andre, and I just played that. And we just played it start to finish. Lyrics, nothing changed. I didn't change a single thing about it, so it just was fully realized as is, and usually those are the ones that have the legs, the ones that
right.
last the longest. You can labor on a song for a year and put all your effort into it, and it'll be warmly received, but nothing ever gets the love that one that just came out fully
all formed. The stars lined up, the brilliance I guess. Came to the surface.
And it's real simple. I think people like that. Yeah. There's nothing complex about it. It's just straight ahead. And, yeah, that's a fun one to play every time. I got to be honest. I never get tired of playing that song. And it's been a lot of time.
Now, I recall seeing y'all, but there were more members in the band. I guess y'all have visiting band members that join you
we
at
do.
A period of time?
We do sometimes have extra horn players. We'll bring in a third horn. We've had extra guitar players. Camille from the Radiators has played with us many times. Yeah. Mike Dusson has played with us many times. Greg Hicks from Bonorama has played with us many, many times. Yeah. Brad Walker, who plays with everybody out here at the fest these days. Yeah. He was with the Revivalists. We've had a lot of guests.
And that
the
seems
year.
To be a lot of fun. It looked like y'all were having it. Because I remember seeing a picture, and it's like, wait a minute. When I saw them, they had more band members. I wonder if they lost band members.
No.
And then I went and did my research and said, it was visiting folks.
We've got guests. And for Jazz Fest, sometimes we bring in extra people.
Yeah.
Just because.
Tell us about the Jazz Fest experience. We interviewed a couple of folks last week that perform, and they're on the local scene here. They've been in New Orleans a long time. And they said the one performance that makes them the most nervous is the Jazz Fest performance.
Yeah.
And I found that kind of interesting. You would think you would be right at home, but I guess
it's both though. I think it's because you're right at home that you feel those nerves because you really want to do your best show for these people. These are the people we care about the most.
Right.
Particularly for touring artists that leave town a lot and are gone a lot. They put a lot of themselves into performing for audiences with the place, trying to warm them up to their music. So to come home, you want to give them the best you got. You want to do the best show you have. I don't really get nervous when I play, but I get excited. It's nervous is like when you're not prepared. You don't know what's going to happen. You might mess up. We're prepared. So I know what I'm doing up there, and I love it. I do get very excited about Jazz Fest. I mean, I'm about to go on. Normally right now I'd be backstage doing jumping jacks and hyping the guys up.
Well, I hope I'm calming you down. I'm having a calming influence.
Oh, very soothing effect. I could take a nap on this couch right here. Wake me up when I got to go on, all right?
Well, thank you. I know you got to go. Thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it.
It's so important for us to introduce the local talent to our audience and get to know the person and,
thank you.
How they got and how they come to be here. And
Rolling Stone called us the best kept secret in New Orleans. We'd like that secret to get out as quickly as possible.
No doubt.
So, thank
Mark
you for your
Piardi,
time.
Mark also known as Johnny Sketch of Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes, folks. They will be on at 12:20 on the Shell Gentilly stage. Thank you, sir. Best
pleasure.
Of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're at the Miller Tent out at Jazz Fest, and my cousin joins me, John Edlebourne.
Cousin, how you doing?
From Panorama Foods in Marksville, Louisiana.
Yes,
the
sir.
Thriving metropolis of Marksville.
Drove
Louisiana.
All the way from Avalls Parish in the rain this
in
morning.
In the rain
but the
this
sun
morning?
Was shining when we got here, so we good.
You're good. You're absolutely good. My family is from Bordelonville, the
Correct.
Outskirts of Correct. Marksville.
The suburb.
Now, you have one of, I think, one of the most popular food items out here, right?
That's
and,
correct.
How many years have you been at Jazz Fest?
Since 1987.
87.
Yes.
With crawfish bread, shrimp bread, and sausage, and jalapeno bread.
Correct.
So tell us about the process, starting with the bread and how this all works.
It's all homemade, handmade. We start about 3.5 weeks before. The majority of my coworkers have been with me since day one. The day starts at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I prepare the dough. They come in. We did get a little bit of machinery, some dough rollers and sheeters, where all they have to do is assemble it. They put the right amount of cheese, seasonings, and crawfish and roll it. And they hand it off back to me, and I proof it and bake it. We flash freeze it.
I was wondering, because all your fingers are straight. They're not crooked.
Not yet. Not yet. But that's basically the process. So it is made in Marksville and frozen, and it's cooked about 95% done, like a brown and serve roll, and finished off
and
here
finished
in
there.
The booth in those 10 convection ovens.
And all of the filling, the crawfish and jalapeno sausage, at what point does that enter the bread?
It goes on the raw dough and cooked
dough.
In the dough. And the crawfish this year and other years, but especially this year, because the way that it fell with crawfish season and they weren't catching them, and then the week that we started making my good friend James Menard from Menard Seafood in Cottonport, he started catching. And
another suburb. Of-
yes. And he started peeling. So literally every day he would call me and say, okay, I have another 200, 300 pounds. Now, these we peeled this morning. They were in the crawfish fields this, right, last night. So we have fresh peeled, never frozen crawfish. So when they do in all this Louisiana seafood, this is 100% deal from Cottonport, Louisiana.
Absolutely. Man, there's no better crawfish than from the basin, right?
There you go.
From the basin. Of all of the items that you offer, which is the most popular?
The crawfish bread is the most popular. And the shrimp is for those who don't favor crawfish or something like that. The sausage is an alternative to seafood, and it's a good pure pork smoked sausage, and it's good. You know, I like the sausage bread, I really do. And
is it a sausage that you make?
No, it's actually Foreman's Sausage Company up from Central Louisiana, and he makes it, smokes it, and brings it to me, and it's a good product, a really good product.
So, John, and how long has the family been in this business?
I started it. I graduated from LSU. I have a degree in psychology. My dad was a dentist, and I thought I wanted to be a dentist, but that didn't work out. So I switched to psychology. This is the closest thing to get a degree. And then when I was getting senior,
and long
story short,
have you figured out that you're not nuts?
I use it every day on employees. So anyway, I started working for a pharmaceutical company, a drug rep, and I sold antidepressants, which is what I liked. It was kind of still my niche, but then I became the cook for all my friends. All the ones that went to LSU together, we ended up in the same apartment complex. One thing led to another, and I started inventing these things, and that was right at the crawfish crazy. Right. Then I started with the sausage, but that's where it all started. And then I quit my job, and I'll never forget the day I quit my job. My daddy was a dentist, and he'd do all his lab work. He'd make all his dentures and all that kind of stuff. And he always had something in his pocket and something, and he was grinding. And he walked in, and he says, it was a Tuesday at 11 o'clock. I'll never forget. He says, what the hell are you doing here? Why aren't you at work? I said, I quit my job. And he puts his denture down. He says, puts the other thing in his pocket. He says, we need to go see your mama. But all in all, he had supported me all his life. And
you had decided this was the path you were going to go down?
This was the path. I had done my homework for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I had gotten my little stockholders and all that kind of stuff. So
absolutely,
it worked out, and here we are many years later.
And
it's still fun. It's still fun.
And folks waiting in line probably as we speak to get the crawfish.
Probably.
Well, congratulations to you, John Ed Laborde of Panorama Foods out of Marksville, Louisiana.
That's it.
We really appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you for
having
me.
Have a great fest.
I love coming here. We will.
All righty. We'll be right back, folks, with more guests after the top of the hour news. So stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.